Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, and here in a special show that we're dedicating 100% with my colleagues from SEMA International. And first on the docket is none other than the founder of SEMA International and the technology that we use. So welcome, Art Miller.
Sarah, it's really good to be with you.
You bet. Well, let me offer just a brief introduction. Art Miller Jr., as I mentioned, is the founder of SEMA International. It's formerly called People Management, and initially trained as a lawyer for more than 45 years. Art has been seeking to influence the thinking of those who lead, manage, and influence our society's foundational institutions. His focus is the conviction that assessing and productively utilizing the giftedness with which individuals have been endowed is the only way to achieve organizational and personal objectives, as well as, quite frankly, to solve the besetting problems of education, work, religion, and the family. As a principal architect of the SEMA process, during his long and distinguished career, Art has used SEMA with hundreds of organizations within diverse industries throughout the world, from NASA, McDonnell Douglas, to IBM, DuPont, New York Life, and even several technical societies. Art is also the author of countless articles and essays. In fact, he continues to write prolifically. He's best known for The Truth About You and Finding a Job You Can Love that he wrote with Ralph Mattson. His most recent title is Designed for Life, Hardwired, Empowered, Purposed, the Bright Way to Every Human Being. Art's contributions also include being a father of four children, founding a school and a church, and being quite the orator, and I understand as well the singer. So we're going to sure hear that tone in your voice here today, Art. Well, tell me, I know 2011, a year from now, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of the organization
Absolutely.
That you started.
It's gone by so quickly.
I was going to ask you, did you ever really imagine that the journey you launched on then would continue as it is today?
Not really. It's been, you know, from the very beginning, we were involved with a man by the name of Bernard Haldane back in the late 50s, who is kind of the father of training of people and how to get jobs and that kind of thing. And I watched him and got involved in a couple of programs and began to realize that other than being interested in what people had done in the past that they could put in a resume that they'd get a job, that the potential use of that knowledge was much, much greater in terms of life management and from an organizational perspective, the management of people. So back in the early 60s, I began to interview people about what they'd done in their life that really turned them on, that they believed they did well. And nobody had done that up to that point in time that I could find. So it was kind of new territory. And the more I interviewed people about what they had done when they were kids and when they were growing up in their early adult years that they really enjoyed and believed they did well, I found out there was much, much more about them than had been realized by them or apparently anybody else. And so my life then was just drawn into this whole issue of who people are, because the knowledge of them, I mean, I'd taken five courses in psychology at Northwestern, and they didn't seem to have many answers as to the nature of the person. They had a lot of ideas about sickness and problems, emotional problems, that kind of thing. But what I found is that every person that I talked with and really got them to remember things and describe what they'd done was fascinating. It was just each person's life was unique, was exciting. And
I think the other piece of it, Art, of course, is that it was also portrayed in a joyous way. Where I suspect other interviews, it's the nature of people feeling like they're auditioning or being put on the spot or having to dredge up negative places.
Yeah, well, it was a unique experience for people. And even though they might have been a little suspicious in starting in the wood, once they got in the wood, it was just delightful. And one of the things that our people find in life, particularly, you know, if they're motivated to work with people in these ways, is that people recalling what they've done in their life that have been important things for them, you know, they get excited about it. I mean, I remember early years I would do some interviewing for NASA, and they would have me interviewing some young, bright engineers, and in the other room was a group of the executives or managers in this particular division that I was working in. And the person I was interviewing was, you know, knew this was a kind of a closed circuit thing. And as they got into the things they had done in life that they really enjoyed, they would hit the table and they would gesticulate and they would really get into it. And that's what happens to people when they kind of recall the things that have been significant to them in their lives. They really get into it. And so I'd finish this interview, and this would be somebody maybe that they thought was a real bright star for the future, and considering them for some key management position. An hour, an hour and a half of interviewing, it became very obvious that they weren't interested in managing anything. They were just good technical nerds, and they loved it. And you go into the other room with these men that had known this person for some period of time, and they're just kind of astonished at how much information comes out of when you get people to really open up about the things that are personally significant to them.
Absolutely. And I think, too, that many times just allowing someone that joy of going through the process, that takes their own thinking about themselves to a much different place in the mix.
Absolutely, because people do not, they just don't realize, one of the things that we really discovered is that people don't realize that they really are designed, they're shaped, they have a certain MO, they have a way of functioning in life that when they follow it, they are beautiful to watch. You know, they're very productive, very fulfilled. And people just don't realize that. And they go through grade school and high school and college and maybe even graduate school and come out of that and still don't realize that. Because the way that they're educated, the teachers are not concerned about the uniqueness of the student. And yet the only way the student really learns is if what they learn, how they learn, why they learn are the means through which they're being taught.
You bet. And you know, though, this does present a considerable challenge in organizations, though, where there's this feeling that, well, we have this many round holes to fill, and here we have a couple square pegs, so maybe we should be trying to knock off those rough edges so these people can fit.
Sure.
And what you're saying is, nah, that's not a long-term solution to anything.
Well, it's what happens, continues to happen in industry, and whether it's a small organization or a very large organization, the idea is that people are kind of like putty, and you can shape them around what you need them to be, and it just is, it's a deadly thing in terms of the individual, because they can't really, the only time they can produce anything of any significance is when you engage their giftedness, the things that they really are good at and love to do. And organizations very, very, very slowly come to that, and it can get swallowed up in, you know, we got three people and we got the work to do, so let's get busy. We can train people to do what we need them to do, and that that starts down a road for the person, at least, you know, a lifetime of going from one job to another. And really depending upon what they do in their off hours and the byways of their life and their hobbies, what they might do at home to satisfy this thing within them, because this desire they have to be a certain person and to use certain of their giftedness does not die in life. Regardless of what they're doing vocationally, they will find some ways of of using it, whether it's in the garden or in the hobbies or in the community or in the church, whatever it is. But the I think the struggle that we've had in these years that we, I don't know how high up the mountain we are. We're probably still down on the lower plains. But what we're after is to try to get the world to understand that if they will make use of the individual's motivated abilities, of their strengths, of their giftedness, they will get substantially more production out of them than if they're just assuming that they are replaceable parts and can use them wherever they need them.
That's true. I think the other piece of it, too, I mean, what would the world look like if we viewed our professions as the place we went to actually become more of who we are and not less?
It's an incredible part of the vision, and I don't expect it to be fulfilled in my lifetime, the lifetime of my sons, but someday it will be realized, because this is so powerful in people. I mean, it's inborn in them, and it's kind of how they perceive any job that they're in. I mean, one of the reasons we are quite successful in the placement of people is that we can describe to an employer and to the person how they're going to perform their job, because we get at this unique, what we call a motivational pattern or map, a motivated abilities pattern.
Which actually predicts the behavior, you're saying, then.
Absolutely.
Right.
And because it's so irrepressible in us that, in other words, we will try to use that strengths, those motivations in any situation that we're in, because it's irrepressible, and we see reality this way. And in any job we're in, we're going to try to shape it in accordance with kind of how we're put together. And if the employer can understand that, possibility of changing what in most organizations, 50% at least of the people are in wrong jobs because they haven't understood this about themselves, and their employers don't look at people that way. But the whole idea of getting really significant amount of productivity from people by being concerned about whether or not we've got them in the right place in the organization.
That's right. Well, Art, take us back then. So it was in the mid-70s to early 80s that I imagine you pushed forward then from not just doing these oral interviews, but then realizing the patterns and then putting a bit of science into this with looking, as you call it, a taxonomy or the menu.
Right. For the first, we started in the early 60s, and for the first 10 years, we were really learning that the more you explored about what people had done that was a delight to them, that they loved to do, believe they did well, the more you found out about them. And by the end of the 60s, early 70s, I remember giving a talk before the International Personnel Association and presenting what I had found out in those 10 years. And that as initially we had, when we reported on a person, we wrote maybe 30 or 40 pages of material from the interview that we had transcribed, and we would keep referring back to what the interview said and how they continued to do things this way, they continued to learn this way, they continued to organize and plan this way, and so forth. And the clients kind of got sick of it and said, look, is there any way we could get less detail? And so what we did was we looked at all of these motivational patterns we had done for maybe 15 years. This would have been in the mid-70s. And we developed a taxonomy based on that of certain abilities that we found throughout the interviews we had done, and certain subjects that they motivated to work with, and certain kind of situational circumstances. And that's a little more technical stuff, but we developed a taxonomy which we've been able to use for the last 30, 35 years successfully.
What is so interesting is when, of course, a group of us that are, under your tutelage, have been in, under the umbrella of SEMA, is the first thing that we usually do is exchange what is our core essence. And it's like offering inside scoop on someone in the process of getting to know them.
Yeah, it took us a while to get to this, but fairly early in our interviewing of dozens and dozens, ultimately hundreds of people, we found that each person has one outcome or one result or one purpose for what they do. And even though they use their abilities in a certain way and work on certain subjects a certain way and have a certain relationship with people, they are always after the one outcome. With me, it's impacting on others. And with you, it might be meeting requirements. And somebody else, it can be building and developing things. But whatever it is, from the time you were a child until 100 years later, you will have sought that one outcome that in your life. And it really is your raison d'etre. It's the purpose of your life is essentially to achieve that.
Art, the application for SEMA, of course, has been used for executive search, for working inside of organizations to improve the effectiveness of teams, as well as for individuals themselves to invest and use this self-knowledge to help both in their professional life and their personal life, correct?
Absolutely. And we've tried as an organization to work both sides of that street. In other words, work to help employers make more productive use of people and also counseling people about their end of the scale, which is to always seek to be in the right place. And in your personal life, the use of your pattern is critical to it being effective, and it goes to the heart of your relationship with your spouse and with your kids. You will be toward them as God has given you the ability to be, and understanding it, using it as a way to love others, which is what we, another discovery we made in this journey that we've been on, is that the only way you can really love anything with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength is through the gifts that God has given us in these patterns. So it becomes a very wonderful thing to understand about yourself. And if you're an employer and you're really a smart employer, you'll try to understand that about people that work for you and try to make sure they're in a place that they can give you everything they want to give you.
Well, I think the other places too, of course, even before that employment picture is, of course, and you personally having founded a school, it's the whole role of this knowledge in education that each one of us learns in a very different way. And in fact, we might even say there are no two maps alike on the planet. So that diversity is so important for educators to know to appreciate and play to.
It's probably the conundrum of this earth is that people are unique, and if you tap into their uniqueness, you get just really wonderful stuff from them. But if you don't, it just doesn't work. Whether we're talking about grade school, high school, college, law school, as I went to, or whatever, unless you are learning the way you're motivated to learn, what you're motivated to learn, why you're motivated to learn, how you're motivated to learn, it just doesn't take. I mean, you'll go through the motion, but really assimilating what you're supposed to be understanding only comes to you when it comes to you through how you uniquely are put together. And what's true in education is true in work, and is actually true in the church. The understanding that God has put us together in these unique ways, and what it means to be a believer is to really live out that design as fully as you can in your life.
So and I would think too,
all of our life.
Sure, and of course, yourself having been and you are the father of four, is that powerful knowledge as well as we guide the development of our children.
Yes. And parents who are on the lookout for what their kids' design are. You know, they're going to find evidence all over the place. When they do what they want to do, what do? You know, are they playing with other kids? Are they off thinking? Are they off reading? Are they off building things? And this doesn't, you know, this just doesn't happen. It's each of us, even in these early years, will try to be the person that God has designed us to be. So it becomes a wonderful understanding that a parent can have, that willing to allow the child to be who they are, to notice signs of it, to support the youngster when they move in the ways that they do.
They do. Well, Art Miller, thank you so very much for joining us today. And as well, the balance of our show, of course, are going to be including professionals that have had the great pleasure to work with you and learn from you. So, Art Miller from SEMA International, thanks for joining us here today on Circles of Change.
It's been a pleasure, Zara. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.